Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
The Lord's given us a word this year, a year of divine opportunity. A year of divine opportunity. Fantastic word to kind of give our hearts and minds faith and direction for what he wants to do through our lives this year. And I had the opportunity to meet with the leader of the council on Thursday afternoon. I did go out for that one because I felt it was important. Bless him. I had during the meeting, I had a coughing fit. And honestly, it went on for 7 minutes. And by the end of it, they had such compassion for me, I think it swung us in their favor. God uses all things. And it was a really good time. The leader of the council's somebody that I met about 4 or 5 years ago, which he really remembers, and he told our story to the other councillor that was in the meeting, who is the councillor for community work. And he said, after a lot of chit-chat, he said, well, what would you like us to do for you, remembering we have no money? And the Lord told me, you don't go and ask for money. You don't do that. It's not right to go into a situation where the council are struggling to find finances to resource very needy situations. So I didn't go to ask for money. But I did go to promote the work that we are doing as a church, that you guys, all of us are doing from here, from this new opportunity for this building to serve this community and beyond with projects like Habitat, free English classes, conversation classes for foreign speakers, for Fly. The two projects this week, as far as I know, there were 19 in Fly, there were 21 in Habitat, and it's a happening thing. It's a working thing. Then there's 3D, which is a new initiative, which I believe is a significant step out into reaching 16 to 25-year-olds. We've got Kids Club, which will be starting again fairly soon to reach children. And we've got Care for Seniors. And so we made known, I made known very clearly what we were doing. And I did say to him, just to kind of be interested in him, because I'm sure he gets a lot of people there who are only interested in what they can get. And I just said, you are the leader of the council. It's a very responsible job. And you've come to lead in a very difficult time. And I believe true leaders, good leaders, are born for hard times. To lead us out into blessing. And so we want to bless our leaders, don't we? And pray for those who are in authority. And I just said, you know, I can see you've come with compassion, because to be a leader is something you probably would never choose, but it's something that you're called for. Unless, of course, you've got a heart for profile and promotion, self-promotion. But in the kingdom, a leader is God-ordained, God-appointed for a particular purpose and time. And for a particular job to get done. And he said to me, I'm the kind of guy who says the glass is half full, not half empty. And he said, to be honest, I'd prefer to look at the opportunities. And I thought, he's got the word of the Lord for the year. A year of opportunity. He said, and I, rather than say amen, because I think he would have been put off. Amen, brother. I didn't want to put him off. And I went, absolutely. I'm with you. It's our time. It's an opportunity to bring something good out of something that isn't particularly a good situation. And so I thought it was brilliant that the word of the Lord came in that situation. He's running with that word himself. He's looking at the opportunities in the region, of which he can see an army of workers here. And The counsellor for the community is going to come and see us in our kind of working environment to see what we're doing and to see what she can do in terms of promotion for our various projects. Of course, they can't be seen to promote the Christian faith. They know clearly who we are, that we do that, but they do want to promote some of the work that we do that's meeting a need in the community, which is fantastic. And so the leader of the council actually said that he is going to promote our work all through the councillors. Every council will know what King of Faith Southwest are doing. A divine, you see, divine opportunity. Opportunity means, favorable circumstances, favorable conditions, and a good position for the success or goal of something. And God has put us in a position of favor. And we are in a time in the history of Kingdom Faith Southwest where we are seeing amazing miracles in terms of answer to prayer. The way we are sitting today is a miracle. We need never to get beyond thinking that this place is an absolute miracle. And that it is every floor will serve God's purpose. And that we're going to, as we grow and develop, fill this place that is set apart for God with the purpose of God. That's phenomenal. Just think of all the people that are going to get saved and blessed because we are here. And we know that the church are our people. Then it's not a building. We're people, the people of God. But we've got a lot of things that we can use, opportunities this year to move into what God has for us. The thing about opportunity, and talking to this counselor, and you guys in your everyday life would agree with me. The people you see, the people you live near, there are so many opportunities. There are so many needs. And opportunities are not in lack to go and help somebody with the purpose of God, with the gospel, or meet the need that they may have, whether it's they're poor and they need food, whether they are rejected and they need acceptance. But we know that everybody, ultimately, their primary need is spiritual. It's to be reconnected with God through Jesus, through the gospel. And so you, in your everyday life, can look at all the people around you and say, there are so many opportunities, and it can almost make your heart go. You know, I brought a word from the Lord last week. See, I've given you the city. That's what God says, that he's given us, the people here. We know that he's given his church the nation, and that we're to see that we're here to win and restore these people back to God. But it's quite a big task when you look at it like that. This region, I believe we're here as a gateway for the supernatural, as a church that are living life in the Spirit, who worship in spirit and in truth, like this morning, who carry on with the flow of the Spirit and move with the things of God and learn how to serve God in the Spirit. Not just sing songs. And I believe that is creating an opening for opportunities in the Spirit realm. That as we worship, there are things happening in the Spirit. But we have to be careful that we do what God says to do. Because with so many opportunities, we could wear ourselves out overdoing it. And God does not want us to be overdoing life. But he wants us to be led by his Spirit into divine opportunities. Very different to having lots of opportunities to having a divine opportunity. Something that is from God and for God, that we are serving what God is saying to do. And I always think of Jesus as a primary example of this, in going into the temple and Solomon's kind of palace kind of area, Solomon's porch, I think it was called, And there's a place called the Pool of Bethesda. And in this pool was known for its healing waters, basically. And people believed that an angel came down at certain moments, whenever, kind of like a haphazard thing, and would stir the waters. And if you were the first one in, first come, first serve, if you got in there first, you got healed. And so in this kind of Solomon's porch area, there were so many needs, so many people. And God wants us to know that there's not a shortage of needs, but every need mustn't be met by us. We must meet the need he leads us to meet, rather than all the other kind of outside things that could pull you into so many directions you're not actually fruitful. Because you will only be fruitful doing what God has called you to do. We will only be fruitful as a church sticking to what God has said to do and not diverting into so many things that what we're actually called to do, we're taking out the support of that, and they're not really working well because there's too many things going on. So Jesus, he comes into this place. Now Jesus can heal everybody in that room. He's got the power. He's got the heart, compassion for every need. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love every person there. He loves everybody in that place. But I just like to think of Jesus going in. Now, he said in John 5 verse 19, I only do what I see the Father doing. So, what he did was led by divine information or by revelation. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He was not led by the need. He was moved by the need, but led by the Spirit. And that transforms our lives from doing everything to doing the thing that God says to do, which will produce the fruit. Because God knows that the person he leads you to is ready. I've thought about this, Jesus. I asked the Lord many times about this story. And said, Lord, why just the one? I'd have felt a bit fed up if I was next to that guy. And the Lord just said, you leave the things that you're not doing to me. You're not in control. I am. And I know the people that are ready. See, I actually think all the ones around the water had faith in the water. And when you got faith in something else, you don't really qualify for a miracle from Jesus. So I believe this guy was kind of, in his heart, he was like, there must be something else. God knew anyway that he was ready. And so Jesus, he said to the guy who's been sick 38 years. Think about it. Gosh, that's more than some of you have lived. And he's lying on a mat, he's paralyzed. And there must have been needs everywhere there. Jesus must have gone, oh, Father, what about them? Oh, look at that. Oh, I'm so moved by that. Look at these people. But Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. So it was almost like either an arrow or a light, or God pointed, this is the one. And you know, you can look and ask God, which one? In your office, you can look out all the people there and say, which one do you want me to go for? This is good, isn't it? Because the Holy Spirit will give you like a, well, I don't know why, but my eyes are kind of just fixing on. My eyes are fixing on. Lord, who is it? Louis. It's Louis. God has a plan for your life. And you haven't come into everything yet. There's a lot more ahead of you. And God wants to equip you with new weapons to fight so that you can come into greater fruitfulness. Amen. I believe that, Louis. And so Jesus looked at this man and said, okay, do you want to be well? Now, this is where the interesting question is, because you'd think somebody who was always lying around trying to get healed would actually want to be healed. But some people have so got used to their condition, they don't want out. Have you ever met somebody who's sick and the benefits of being sick actually stop them really wanting to get well, because it will mean a changed life? They have to go to work. Have to get a job and not beg anymore. Can't carry a bed and say, I used to be sick. Can you feed me? They say, well, now you're walking. Go and feed yourself. Go get a job. So healing is, with somebody in a condition like that, it's a good question. And the Lord, the guy said, well, yeah, I've got nobody to take me in. You know, I can't get myself in. So Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk. And by doing what Jesus says, the guy starts to walk. He gets healed. But my point is, divine opportunities, it's important this year that you live in the divine, the God dimension, and not in what you feel or what something else is leading you into, but that you're led by the Spirit to the opportunity that God is presenting to you. Now, let's look at John 15. John 15. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 5.
I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
So Jesus says that our life, and the only life that will produce fruit this year, comes from us being connected and receiving from his life. Now, if you think about a tree and the branch, you know very well that the branch does not produce the life for fruit. A branch by itself can't do that. But when the branch is in the tree or the vine, which is Jesus, in Christ, we have this union with him. His life flows through us as we receive his life. And that's the issue, as we receive. As we keep taking his life into us. So in other words, today, Lord, I take in your joy. Because joy, the joy of God, the joy of the Holy Spirit is in you to overcome all negative emotions. And so you can take in joy and then be joyful. You can receive the power to be joyful. You can take in the peace and the love of God. As you receive his love, do you know what happens? You become more loving. You produce the fruit of God's love in the world. And so fruit is always a product of what a branch has or has received. And so Jesus says, I want you to continue to live and abide in me. And my life, word, spirit abide in you. And that there is this exchange, a continuous flow of the life of God in and through you. There is nothing that the Christ in you can't do. There's nothing that the God life in you can't accomplish. Amen. Amen. Which is why the secret isn't us, it's Christ. Amen. in us, isn't it? That's the secret. When we believe and receive Jesus, he comes to live in us. And as we receive him and continue to receive from who he is, his nature, his mercy, his peace, his joy, that enables his life to fill us, our soul, our emotions, our will, our whole being. And then out of what we've received, you get the fruit. And so Jesus said in verse 7, and this is really where I want to kind of focus in on today. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you see, it's all about being in. Okay, it's so simple, and I'm hoping that you'll get it. If the condition is, if you remain in, living in reality in Christ, that Christ becomes your everyday experience. Like a branch doesn't go to church on Sundays, connect, get fuel for the week and run off. Stays connected all the time. So I can have what you need from God if I just start talking to you. Because the life of the Spirit can flow through me. And so it's this, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Now, Jesus makes it an important part of fruitfulness, and a very, very important part of us being fruitful, is this relational connection and his word living in us. If his word, now what is his word? Well, we know his word, this is his word, God's word. But we also know the promises of God in here are his word to us specifically. We know that the commands that Jesus had, when you read through the New Testament, if what Jesus says lives in you, makes its home, his word actually takes residence in your heart. You will ask what you desire, and it will come into being for you. So in other words, there's going to be fruit. There'll be fruit from God's word in you, living in you, alive in you. Now, the more word you have in you, the more fruit will come out through praying what you have. Because God does not answer every prayer. Don't know if you knew that. He doesn't answer every prayer you pray. He answers every prayer according to his will. And we can't know the will of God by looking at the sky, by looking at my bank account, by looking at my knee. I can't know the will of God by referencing some other book. But I can know what God's will is by knowing his word. And it's almost like, you can imagine, when I'm in the word, I'm spending time meditating on the word, reading the word, praying. It's like God's word starts to come alive in me. It's like deposited in my heart, and it begins to live in me. It lives already because the word of God is living. But it becomes alive in me as I make room in my heart for what Jesus is saying through his word. And when his word lives in us, we produce a lot of fruit. The opportunities this year, now listen up to this one, begin by what God puts in your heart. So the opportunities don't start out there. They start in here. The Christian lives from the inside out, not the outside in. There's a whole change of lifestyle because the Christ Jesus himself lives in me through his Spirit. And his life in me and his word in me begins to shape and transform me on the inside. He gives me faith and vision. When God spoke to Joshua and said, "See, I've given you the city," the word entered his spirit or his heart. And that word began to take shape on the inside. And Joshua began to look at the city with faith. Where did faith come from? From hearing, and hearing by the word. Whatever situation you are in, there is a word you need to receive first before you pray. Jesus didn't say pray and then ask me for a word. Let my word live in you. And when you pray, it will happen for you. It will come to pass. So God does something in us first to then do something through us. And we have to learn to live from the inner man, from our hearts. The opportunities start, therefore, with God and not you. Hello? God is the initiator of every opportunity, divine opportunity, you will have this year. He will initiate it. His word will come to live in your heart. You will then begin to pray. And you, when you pray, that will make room for God to work so that you can go and do what he's asking of you. Thank you, Jesus. And so we need to be more aware of the work of God in us first, before we see the work of God through us. Yeah? What is in me? What word is alive in me? Pastor Andrea said she visited the Fly Ministry on Friday night, and she spoke and I think encouraged the young people, but encouraged the team. And she said that they're just doing such a great job. But I know that what they're doing is coming out of something that God has put in their heart. And I know that there's a scripture from, look at me and see if it's right, Isaiah 45. See? I know the word that they have and that they're praying, that God will give them treasures of darkness. It lives in them. And so they're praying that, and they're seeing opportunities with young people so that these young people will come out of darkness into light and actually become followers, true followers of Jesus Christ. But this vision began in them and is in the team with James and Becky as well, the whole team. The vision began in them before God did the work through them. And so we see the opportunities, we must see opportunities beginning in us first. Otherwise, it won't carry the divine life. It won't carry God's power. It won't have the ability of God. And you see, no word from God returns empty. Come on. But every word that he speaks accomplishes what he sends it to do. There's not one word from God that God will not perform. If it's truly from God, it will come to pass. If it's from man who's grabbing a promise to suit their own ends, it's not going to. But God's word, in the right heart, prayed with the right vision, will definitely happen. Thank you, Jesus. Everything Jesus says happens. And so the divine opportunities for this year must come out of what Jesus is saying and putting in our hearts to do. And, you know, this may be an ongoing thing because we had a vision over 10 years ago to come and plant a church. Now, just because it's 10 years on, it doesn't mean to say I'm not going to change that word. I'm living out of that vision. They're not going to do Fly for a year and then decide to do something else. It's a continuation of the things of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. God works in us to work it through us. Just take John 15:7 and meditate on it now as if Jesus is speaking to you. And I'm going to take a 2-minute break while you do it. Words remain in us. When we pray, it will come into being. I'm talking fruit. Fruit of what God has said. He doesn't just say pray it because you read it. He says pray it because it's in you. There's a different quality of prayer. It's a faith, because faith comes from hearing in your heart. You hear the word, you say, okay, I receive that. The word works effectively in those who believe, Scripture says. So it starts to work. And I want the word to work in me so that it'll work through me. So the first part is to work it in me. Lord, let this work in me, this promise that I just got in your word. Let it work on the inside. Let it shape me. Let it shape my attitudes. Let it shape really what the goal of my life is. That it will really turn my life upside down. Because I want to just be in harmony with your word on the inside. Let it live in my heart. And once it's alive in me, Jesus says the promise is phenomenal. You will ask whatever you desire. And it will come into being for you. Now, some people mistake this as being such a kind of, you can then ask anything. Well, Jesus is really saying, because the works worked in you, your desire is the same as his. You and him are like that. On this issue, united in purpose and vision. And so when it's like that, it works. Prayer does not work under certain circumstances. And the book of James chapter 4, James is as blunt as a spoon. Have you ever read the book of James and thought, my word, he did not tiptoe around people's emotions and say, did you feel good when I preached that? He actually says, where's your fighting, your wars? Where is it coming from? It's coming from your desire for yourself. Selfish motives. And he says, you know, you don't have because you don't ask, is the first thing he said. You're not getting stuff because you're not praying. Now, if you're not praying, you won't get divine opportunities this year. Hello? It all begins in this prayer, kind of inner, starts on the in your heart through the word, the promise, and then it begins to kind of come out in your prayer life. It has to happen in your prayer life first before it'll happen in the world. Wakey, wakey. Good preaching. So you don't have because you don't ask. You don't have a move of God because you're not asking. According to what you've got in your heart. Second reason why he says you don't get what you get God moving in your life is because you ask amiss, or you're missing the target, and the target is not you. He says, basically, your prayer life is not just to serve everything you want in your life. Hello? It's me and my family, that's what I'm going to pray for 35 years. And James says, you don't ask with the right intention. You're asking so that what you get, it's just for your own pleasure. Now, that does not mean you don't pray for your family. Please. If you don't pray for your family, then you need to get back to your responsibility. There is a responsibility in our lives to pray for our families, to pray for our church family, and to pray for the world. But we need to understand that if we ask with the wrong motive, then it's not going to work. A selfish motive. Now, when you and I first got saved, have you taken on a lot of change? If you've walked with God for a while and you're still really walking, you will know that he deals with your heart. When I was first saved, and when you were first saved, we were probably, we were new creations, but probably still fairly selfish. Life was still all about me. What I want, what I think, what I feel, and what I will do. So who is at the center of your world? You. It's a, and the thing that God does is he kind of shapes us. We might know the promises. We might put the promises in our hearts. We might have a vision for opportunities, divine opportunities this year. But what he does is he shapes our hearts with the right motives. Aren't you glad he does that? That he's the potter and we're the clay. So in other words, the potter comes in and says, I'm going to just tweak that attitude. And you know, sometimes he takes stuff from us and makes us share. And we can be, if we're still babies in Jesus, babies in Christ, we can be like children who've got their favorite toy and are hanging on saying, no, no, this is all for me. Have you ever tried to take a toy off a kid? And all they want to do is hang on to it. Well, sometimes, well, I have been like that. I actually initially thought I got saved just to live a blessed life. Here I am. Brilliant. All the blessing, all the prayer. Yes, Lord, everything's for me, for me. Pour it out. Now, one level, that's true. We are to receive every blessing in Christ, but we're to be blessed to be a blessing, to be a channel, not a reservoir. And if we're a reservoir, we are not actually going to get answers to prayer. There'll be a block on your prayer life. I can't understand why my prayers aren't getting answered. Well, maybe, just maybe, God is shaping you on the inside to deal with an attitude that's totally selfish and you're not living for somebody else. And as soon as you start to live for somebody else, it'll be amazing how many answers to prayers you'll get. Ooh. Selfishness actually dams up the answers from God in your life. Generosity opens up unusual provision for you. When you're generous, that was good. You get loads of blessing. I'm going to finish with I don't know. I nearly sort of take a decision. Would you prefer Nehemiah or Hannah? I don't know who, Lord. Because we're talking about fruitfulness. We're talking about God putting it in our hearts. Let's turn to Nehemiah. I think we'll finish with this because we understand that the word in us produces the fruit outside. We understand that sometimes our motives need a little pruning so that we can bear more fruit, and that unless we pray it, we won't get it. Okay, just to go back over the ground we've just covered, and you wonder why I went on so long, but that's... Now, Nehemiah, he's this, I would say he must have been, at this point, a very mature man of God. Okay, now, this is what we need to aspire to. If you're a new believer, every new believer, we're to grow up in the things of God, to become mature. And selfish, the amount of selfishness that is in you is often a reflection of immaturity. But generosity and living for others is a reflection of maturity. Okay, so Nehemiah must have been a mature man of God. He had this job with the king, and this job was a top job. He was the cupbearer to the king. You can read it later in Nehemiah 1. And he's like got this job of being the closest person to the king. Trustworthy. Now, I love this because the character of this man is like the character of God. Trustworthy. You know, when you're trustworthy in your work, God will promote you. Hello? When you're trustworthy with the small things you're given, there will be more given. And so you're given, you know, we might say we want to save the nation, but if you won't look after one, we ain't going to get a nation. You got to be faithful with the small things. And Nehemiah had proved himself in his working life that he was a trustworthy servant. He was a servant. That was his heart. And he obviously was taken into the confidence of the king. He was in a very important position. He probably brought advice. But we know that he knew the word. Because when he came to pray, it was full of the word. He didn't run around saying, what's the scripture? We're in a crisis. He knew the word. It lived in him. And the story goes in Nehemiah chapter 1. His brother went out to look to do a recce of what was going on in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah is far away, 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem because basically they didn't do the will of God. God's people didn't do the will of God and they took themselves out of the blessing and they went into captivity. And verse 3, his brother came back with this report. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and Jericho. Its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, now you'll read his prayer. If you want to read it later, it's full of the promises and the word of God. And he prays according to the word that was in his heart. Now let's look at how Nehemiah responded to a people that weren't kind of his family, not his relatives. They are people he doesn't actually know, but he knows God. And he knows God's got a plan for Jerusalem. He knows God's got a plan for this place. When he heard the walls are down, that essentially meant that the enemy can come in and do what he likes, when he likes. When a life is broken down and the walls are down in personal life, the enemy comes in. When sin and the enemy are at work, you're going to see somebody's life destroyed. Where Jesus and the truth and building up of somebody's life according to God's will, where it starts to happen, you see walls come up. Defense. But Nehemiah prayed selflessly. Of course, anybody could pray this, but Nehemiah prayed it without any concern for himself. Read chapter 2, verse 13.
So Nehemiah says, I set out during the night with a few men. I'd not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. Okay, so God had put it in his heart.
But the Nehemiah, basically, the word lived in him. But he had the right motive. He left the comfort of his own life to go and build others. He didn't live his life for himself. And that's really, answered prayer will come when we are selfless in what we're praying. When we're praying far more into the purpose of God for people than we are just for me. And I know that there are so many of you are running with the vision to seek the welfare of people in this place where you live. And that it lives in you, the word is in you, that God wants to rebuild lives. He wants to restore the broken, bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free. But if God's going to begin something new this year, every move of God begins with a fresh dynamic of prayer. Going back to our hearts and saying, Lord, let the vision burn in me for what you want to do in the community. And when it does, and you say, Lord, I'm willing, God will put something in your heart to do, and you're going to see much fruit. By this my Father is glorified, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit. Shall we stand?
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.